Basement Bookers Podcast.
What is up? It's your boys, Basement Jer and Rich the Riz, the most Riz's baldest man, here with you in the Basement Bookers Podcast, a wrestling podcast for other wrestling fans like you and me and him. Rich the Riz, how are you today? Welcome.
I'm good, bro. How are you? And it's a day early, but bro, happy birthday.
Yes, you undercut me yet again. On time.
You could have done it in the intro and you didn't.
Well, I was trying to like build to something, but you just can't help yourself and you can't just wait. So I was trying to say that it is not just a regular Basement Bookers episode. It's not just that. It's Richard Riz's birthday. But he can't help himself because he thinks the world revolves around him. And for today, it does. So let's get that started here. Basement Bookers Podcast. We're going to start off with some really quick newses. If you're all no doubt aware, this week there have been a total of four, introductions into the Hall of Fame. Just remember, you could be in the Hall of Fame more than one time because, you know, there's different things to do things. So first, the first one was Paul Heyman. Next is Bull Nakano, legendary, the first Joshi Hall of Fame, I believe, as far as I know. And, of course, Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham, but specifically as the legendary tag team of the U.S. Express. If you haven't heard of them, then you probably weren't alive. So it happens. I had to be reminded because I don't recall this. And you got to go back. You got to go back to where it all began. You got to go back to the first WrestleMania. Isn't that right, buddy?
Yeah, I certainly don't remember Mike Rotunda before IRS. Just don't. And Barry Windham, kind of same. Like he did some WCW stuff, but you know they were more like late 70s, early 80s guys. And I mean, I know I'm old, but that's sorry to any of our older listeners. I'm feeling it now. I am realizing that at my age, my teens are officially a quarter fucking century ago. So advanced age. I'm feeling it. I'm in my head with it a little bit, but I got to get past that because we got this podcast. Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham, they were from an era prior to my memory. So yeah. I also had to look up U.S. Express. I'm like, whoa, cool, interesting.
Yeah, I'm glad that they have the internet and you could like just look stuff up. Or they're like when they make the video packages, just in case you forgot just who the hell they are. Right. Triple H did his thing on X and things like that. So more news, Seth Rollins, as we are no doubt aware from the end of Monday Night Raw. Did Damian Priest leave the building already? Probably. He had a wedding to go to. Needless to say, congratulations to Dirty Dominic Mysterio, who he's a married man for really official. What does that mean? Who the hell cares? It's none of my business. But Seth Rollins is medically cleared. As you saw, he's back, I think, doing house shows and shit like that. So that ought to swivel there, buddy. Where you at, Damian Priest? Well, son, I would never leave. If it was a chance.
Just follow him. Follow him.
Don't even just be in the corner. Just wait.
Follow him to the hotel. Make sure you get the room right next to him with that adjoining door. Like, yeah. Listen, I'm gonna hear when you're like about to go to sleep. And guess what? I got a ref with me.
That's right, dude. And the refs don't care as long as you have the hotel room key. Another rumor.
Imagine they do a storyline where Priest is dating Jessica Carr just so they could travel together and
together,
and he'll just always have her with him.
I wouldn't mind that. It would be a shock to me though because I always never mind. Anyway, the point of this is, listen, I just think that we need to think about one thing. And remember what came up before. John Cena was brought up here. Okay? We've brought up John Cena possibly being involved in the Bloodline saga. And maybe John's just talking. He's just promoting his new movie. I believe it's called Ricky Stanicky or something. It's on Amazon Prime. Not a sponsor. Probably check it out this weekend on my birthday. We'll see about that. And I'll have like a small little review. Either a small little Jer thing or I'll talk to Rich about it on the podcast. Either way, it's going to come up. But he's saying he's free. WrestleMania weekend. So, I mean, he might be looking for revenge on some Samoan Spiking fella, you know, or maybe he could be the counter to the most electrifying man. Because we got to talk about, and this is the segue, we're going to talk straight into it. Last Friday, we recorded this episode, last episode, we recorded it before, and on SmackDown, it was made. The challenge was thrown out. What we all knew was going to happen, what all of the ads basically were telling us was going to happen, The Rock has put out the challenge that The Rock and Roman Reigns
connection. Rock and Roman connection.
The Rock and Roman connection. The High Chief and the Tribal Chief. But we'll get to that. Team up against Cody Rhodes and maybe that goofy clown emoji Seth Rollins. As of the SmackDown episode.
Real quick on that SmackDown episode, kind of contrary to that opening segment of that SmackDown episode, 39-minute opening segment, including the commercial break. You kidding?
And now you know why Naomi didn't get an entrance. Stuff got cut for time. And best part is, this we find out after that the reason he did the promo in the first place on Instagram was that he wasn't going to be able to get everything out he needed to on SmackDown. So technically, if you add it up, which is what you're going to do for me right now, the promo was way longer than that.
So 39 and 21, that's an hour.
That's right. The Rock did an hour for us, guys. So it wasn't at the same time. But if you think about stand-up comedy, that's a special. And we got that shit for free.
That's a Chappelle show.
That's right. Rich, definitely not as good. But listen, I got to get your opinion on this because we weren't able to speak on this. So what did you think about it? Like, did you like it? I want to know what you think first before I go in on it.
The SmackDown?
SmackDown.
That really could have been 15 minutes. That really could have been and should have been 15 minutes. It was long. It was dragged out. I get it. It's part of like the Roman Reigns thing where he goes, he's silent, he absorbs the boos, he's silent, he drags it out, acknowledge him, get the boos. No. I think you were better in the other city. Let's try that again. You know,
The point is, it's not enough. That's a point to that because. Watch when The Rock comes out, all right? Because Roman is starting to, you know, it's starting to show, and the whole time. And if you look at Roman's face, the expressions keep changing. And, like, even Paul Heyman, like, in the background, the faces that he's making, especially when we get into the promo proper.
Bro, right? If Heyman is on screen, I'm not looking at anyone else. He is that damn good. Has been for the longest time.
Yeah, I'm looking around because, like, there's a lot. Lately, they've been able to get things into the shot, as it were. But I got a few requests, and this might not affect those of us that watch on YouTube TV or whatever, but the censorship is out of control and stupid and annoying and very intrusive. I get it, but I hate it. You know what I mean? How they're always all... Like there was like a sign said Brocky die. So what? How do
was
you think he got here the first? That's what some people were saying. And it was the sign, and of course we know all the you know expletives or whatever. I guess
I did see a sign that said the Rocky the. Now, if you know in German, the German word the is spelled die.
Yeah.
So this guy got around it. He's like, okay, just translate to German and says, die, Rocky, die.
And it say, die, Bart, die?
No, that's German for the Bart.
the.
Yeah, but it's like, dude, come on. We from the Attitude Era, Rocky Balboa,
Blue Chipper.
Exactly. But really, you can't do a lot about that. Now, a lot was said. My opinion of the promo is because of everything that was together, it was fine. But you can't, with Roman's entrance and that, it's too much.
Yeah.
And I understand. I understand it because it's the tribal chief doesn't come often and everybody wants the experience. But then you got that. You know what I mean? Like, that has to be something that has to be like broken up or it was great. It was a great piece of business. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's my overall review before anybody thinks I'm hating or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of The Rock mostly. It's mm-hmm. everybody there.
Yeah.
Like, was The Rock trying to break Solo? What's going on here?
He was.
And Solo was just getting annoyed, which is the best thing to do. So you don't break is to get annoyed.
I did see a screenshot on, I think, X of Solo actually laughing, and it looked like it was that segment. So it might have just been a different angle, an angle we didn't get.
It could have been AI. You have to be careful. There's ways to do things mm-hmm. now. They're getting the hands better now. It's crazy. So there's weird ones that like just automatically fix things, or they'll add smiles to things or add mustaches to things. So if you got like them Roman Reigns shiners, those shiny bright teeth like Roman, there might be a problem here. I don't know if they could fit in that mouth. That's why he's always quiet, you know. But in regards to the promo, I thought when I was just waiting, I'm like, what's going on? Because when The Rock was in, after he did all his thing and the challenge and this and that. So Bloodline rules, if Cody and definitely Seth Rollins, if they lose, then it's Bloodline rules on the next day.
Right.
At night two.
Mm-hmm.
If not,
but Cody and Seth win, then the rest of the Bloodline, which he named Heyman and Solo and Jimmy are and Rock are banned from ringside.
That's right.
Obviously, he didn't mention anyone that is not officially in the Bloodline yet, but let's not put the cart ahead of the horse.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned that it's going to turn into like my if they lose the first night, which I have a feeling they will, that it will be Bloodline rules, because why would you have a rule that we've never seen used? And you know what I mean? Like, you can't just offer this rule up to me and I never get to see what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the implications of this.
The implication.
But, yes. Don't throw me off here. But you can't. There's no way they'll go with it. It's going to turn into like a, and that will probably be a segue for later, but like it's going to feel like Sting and Triple H when they basically had everybody out there.
Like I was thinking Rock versus Brock at SummerSlam with the forklift, the dump, the whatever the fuck you call that, front end loader.
You mean Rock and Roman? Brock and Roman?
Isn't that what I said?
I thought you said Rock and Brock, but I probably am a brain-dead idiot. So
no, I might be wrong. Roman versus Brock, where you had the forklift jammy, and you had the entire Bloodline, all the interference.
It was for all the belts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be worse than that, because it's like
Ben's legal. And you don't have to wait for a ref bump.
Exactly. You just do whatever you want. I think that's what's going to be the case. And that's where the Cody Bloodline Revengers come into play. But
what Captain Rabble do himself.
Listen. And this is like, it's, by the way, review in progress, but every loading screen, I don't know if it's just for the My Rise story mode in the WWE 2K24 game, but spoiler alert. So the story is that Roman, you're not going to believe this shit, Roman Reigns vacates after he beats Cody. He vacates the championship. He decides he wants to go to Hollywood and do Hollywood better than The Rock to show that he's better than The Rock. So then there's a tournament. And William Regal is the GM for Raw. The Miz is the GM for SmackDown. So basically, Regal gets you to, you're in this tournament. You're the dark horse. For some reason, you're in this Universal Championship tournament.
The creator wrestler.
Basically, long story short, you wind up facing off against Cody Rhodes. So you got to follow the things, and then there's a ref bump. And after Cody hits the crossroads on you, it turns to the shot. The shot, you know, the shot in wrestling when the interference comes.
Yeah.
The tribal chief spears Cody and takes your lifeless body and drapes it over Cody Rhodes.
Wow.
Roman Reigns, that motherfucker, so spiteful. He'll come back from Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Never finishing that story.
Fuck your story, Cody. Basically, is what The Rock did.
Wait. So, like, that's like what Roman did. So that's like taking the title, The Never Ending Story, and just applying it to like Cody Rhodes' life.
He's just gone off on this guy. He just doesn't like Cody. And but the point was, like, on the loading screens, you have Roman's reigns. His the time 1,000 at this point, it's like 1,242 days or something. I don't know if it's up, it's not updated, but because it's, you know, and then you see Hulk Hogan on the other loading screens in his days. It's a little fuck close. So I really think, I'm starting to think, and I was for sure thinking it, that Cody is not winning this year. Like, I think Roman's going to win. I really think I'm saying it. And look, I think it's probably going to happen. I think Roman's going to beat Hulk Hogan's record.
I think odds are stacked. I think what, I wonder if,
and don't play the Cody crybabies. It's probably going to happen anyway.
Right. I wonder if part of the ultimate long-term storyline, because we know they're writing this like super long-term.
Yeah.
If one of the stops on the storyline is Survivor Series, and there's going to be a Survivor Series match, Bloodline versus Cody Vengers.
Yeah.
Seth and Cody, maybe Cena, Jay, and... Well, that four. They could do 4-on-4. They could do 5-on-5. Roman, Rock, Solo, Jimmy, plus one. So that will leave it open for not Toliona, Jacob Fatu, or whatever other bloodline family member they have waiting in the wings.
Yep. And, you know, people still don't trust Seth Rollins. So who knows what's going to happen with him. And from what I understand, the world title is co-maining night two.
Makes sense.
So, since they'll have their tag team match night one.
Wow, so the two men's world titles are maining event night two. Yeah, the tag match, and I guess the two women's titles maining night one.
I don't know about that, because The Rock and Roman Reigns teaming up against Cody and Seth Rollins seems like a main event match to me.
Well, I said the team match, and that tag team match. Yeah, not
every time I
WWE not tag titles. What?
Who
no
cares?
One cares about those.
Fuck that. Yeah, my bad.
Finn
yeah,
Balor,
you're right.
The first Universal Champion, and Send Your Money in the Bank. No one cares about them.
Yeah, yes.
They didn't even give them like their own titles yet. Like, how long has Judgment Day held a blue and a red title belt to the point, and their colors are black and purple, that they haven't made a purple belt yet? Come on. No one cares about them.
Feels like there's no commitment here.
Right. By no one, I mean no one in management that's actually in control of the storylines and anything important that is actually going on screen. We care about tag titles, but management don't care about them so much.
Right now, there's no real story that I'm aware of. Because like we're just getting that Intercontinental Champion thing, which, by the way, gauntlet match. Come on, man. It's March. You couldn't come up with a tournament bracket.
Or you got six guys, six pack challenge, especially coming up on St. Patty's Day.
There's a lot going on here, isn't there?
I feel like there's a few missed opportunities here.
I'm starting to think that the gauntlet match might not be the way. Like, something's going to happen, and they'll have to do it another way kind of thing. Because it's like, it's really early, but then again, it's early enough where you want to build Gunter's opponent, like, who he has to, you know, you got to do all the promos and stuff for the week leading up to it, so you got to want to get him an opponent, I guess. Maybe that's, like, the other argument.
Yeah, it's looking to me that it's going to be Gable, but I mean,
Sami Zayn's got an argument.
Sammy has an argument, but realistically, I think the other main contender would be Bronson Reed. Not a fan, personal opinion, but you know, the fact that there was a pay-per-view in Australia, he couldn't make it because he had a child being born that day. I feel like they're gonna want to be like, oh, sorry you missed it, here you go, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that's possible. I wouldn't, I just don't think that's the matchup. And I know you're right because we've all those guys fail to beat Gunter. So we him getting another shot at him, maybe more motivated. But my only concern is that I like him, really. You know what I mean? I don't know how many other people, you know what I'm saying? Like Gunter's a heel. Right. So I need someone to face him that people are going to get behind. Or, you know what I mean? Because I'm not going to get behind Bronson Reed. Like, nothing's really been like the fact that he missed the pay-per-view in Australia and all that. Like, we know about it. But his TV character isn't exactly like, built on that. Like, he's a heel. Right. So why do I care about a heel not getting his opportunity? You know what I mean? Like, he's just been a mean guy. He's not nice. He's not a nice man. Where's the adversity? He's a big man. He could F everybody up. So it's like, I don't want to cheer for Gunter at WrestleMania. Well, I'm going to cheer for him anyway. But I'm just saying, like, Gunter's a heel.
I
Unless you're
cheer
going to
for
flip
Gun.
him.
Yeah, true.
Unless you're
Speaking
going to flip
of.
him. Because with Dom, what's up with that? Like, obviously, it was to get him, some time off, probably. But like, I was cheering for Gunter. Michael Cole was, everybody was.
Yeah. That was really cool. One thing I noticed as we're discussing this here, not entirely off topic, but other than all the champs are heels on the main roster,
Yes, that's
Logan
true.
Paul,
Yeah.
Gunter, Kabuki Warriors,
Yeah,
Judgment
very heel
Day.
heavy.
I feel like they might turn Judgment Day though.
Wow, really?
So like Mommy's been getting the pops because Mommy deserves the pops because she's just great. We saw Judgment Day versus Imperium. Judgment Day was getting the pops. The crowd turned and was rooting for Judgment Day over Imperium. It would be an opening for them.
Well, they
Priest was
look.
acting a little face like towards the end of that tag match too.
Yeah, and they're trying to recruit Andrade, maybe. Like Dominic Mysterio wants to recruit him. But I
I
think
saw that.
that. I don't think that Andrade wants to be friends. I think it might. I mean, I think that he might have to take care of some business, because him disrespecting his father and all that. You know what I'm saying? But it'd be cool if they were friends. Like, that'd be interesting, but it looks like Andrade's a face. But like you
Looks like.
said, they could be going that way too. But that briefcase can't be in play anymore. I just
Right.
don't. It's kind of strange. You know what I mean? Oh.
It's like you have this prop, you have this conspicuous prop that we see on TV every week as we're reminded of it. I mean, I guess maybe let's say optimistically, credit to them for having it on TV every week, but really not calling attention to it otherwise, so that when he cashes in, it's that much of a surprise, that much more of a surprise. If that's what they're doing, I like it. If they don't have anything written yet and are kind of just going with the flow, get your shit together, because we're at like what did we say last week? 9 months. We're only 3 months away from its expiration. I think it was July, so 4 months.
I'm still wondering if he's holding out to cash in on Gunter, because like, if you want to live forever, the tribal chief is protected by the Rock now, and this of course always the world title, and we always think about that, but Gunter's the longest undefeated Intercontinental Champion there is,
I think.
and that belt has more lineage than the world championship anyway.
Wait, let's say. Is Drew and Seth at Mania or what? Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's Drew. Yeah, he won the Elimination Chamber match.
Let's say Drew wins. Priest cashes in immediately, takes advantage, maybe,
Oh, I'd be so
chair shots,
upset.
briefcase shots. Priest takes it, and then Drew still being super heel, you betrayed me, right? Because remember, he was working with Judgment Day, and Priest as face is like, listen, that's just how the Money in the Bank briefcase is. You won titles for a second time, third time, because stupidity. You won title. Congrats. Now I'm the champ.
It's going to be very scary for Damian Priest, I guess. I don't know, man. Every time I think about that briefcase, I get very upset, and I don't know what to do about it. It's like it's this weird situation where it's like I have a feeling that Priest might be headed to the Baron Corbin Club, you know, and not everybody successfully cashes in. Not even John Cena. Not even John Cena. So
Rabble do.
Yeah. So let's move along here, buddy. Let's go. Let's talk about the well, in order, canonically order.
Canon.
My notes here. We're gonna talk about AEW Revolution, which emanated over at the live on pay-per-view at 8 o'clock. So listen, I don't have these in order because I have them in order of Wikipedia. So you see here the All-Star 8-man scramble. There was some altercations here, but the winner was Wardlow, as we all said there would
be.
I know, it's a real shock. Your face there needed to be seen.
Thinking outside the box there.
Yeah, dude. So let's keep going. Not to waste any time here, but in a shock of shocks of no one except, well, Rich DeRiz knew. Rich DeRiz knew that in the second to last match that Samoa Joe would be retaining his championship. Now, I picked Hangman, but in the back of my mind, I was believing. I believe in Swerve Strickland. I thought that they would shock the world, but they didn't, and that's okay. It's okay that they didn't do that. Hangman lost his shit. He was, like, attacking a referee, like, clubbing blows to the back. It kind of reminded me of, like, when Randy got, like, when Brock went after Randy, he just kept beating the shit out of him. But Hangman still went to sleep. So, you know, now all of a sudden, so here's things that don't make sense to me. On Dynamite this week, Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland wind up in a tag team. There's no reason for that. Like, there's no reason for Swerve Strickland to want to team up with Samoa Joe just to beat up, just to fight against the ROH tag team champions or whatever.
Nah. He could team with Brian Cage.
Yeah. So, needless to say, no one was interested in that. Okay? We're not interested. All right? We're not interested in that. All right? But some people are. And that's okay. Because they're the greatest ROH tag team champions. But what's more important is that there is a sad, sad man with sunglasses out there with an empty JanSport backpack. There's nothing yet left in the JanSport. Maybe a marble, like the marble notebook, the black and white, maybe like a pencil so he could write down his feelings about how sad he is and his poetry about having his hands in his pockets. But the messiah of the backbreaker, Roderick Strong, your new international champion of the world. But in a shock, Rich DeRiz. A shock to the system. Wandering back to civilization from a forest, Kyle O'Reilly. Bum-ass Kyle O'Reilly has returned.
Wow.
And he's back. And he's hungry. Hungry for maybe a sandwich. Like the man's eyes, he looks like he hasn't slept. He looks like he's been waiting to play WWE 2K24. Like it's 2015 or something where you had to go to a store. Like, this is just, I don't know. Hopefully he's all right. Everything's cool. Looks like he might have some issues with Roddy because he didn't want no shirt. So, I don't know why they fuck around. Just put them together.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in a Kyle O'Reilly singles run. It didn't work before, and I don't know if it's going to work now, but if it does, I'll be the first one to admit it. I like his fighting style. I like the way he wrestles, but it's just like, I don't know if it's him or the ideas aren't gelling. There's just, I don't know what to do here.
The character work never really landed with me.
Yeah, like I've known gentlemen, like the gentleman in the next match we're going to speak about my whole life. Mm-hmm. I've also known gentlemen like Kyle O'Reilly. And outside of your cool little jackets, your what is that? That denim jacket that you wear, your denim jacket vest, and maybe your taste in music, there really isn't much to you. You're just a guy. Mm-hmm. And maybe I've had to do this myself. Surrender the Axe body spray. Pick up the deodorant. Real deodorant. It's okay.
Wow. Controversial.
It's okay. I know. I know.
So, my neck beard is getting all twitchy.
I know, right? Well, greatest. It's just reaching down. Rich Derez, what were your thoughts? Were you? I feel like I was like drowning you out there. I don't want people to think I'm trying to go into business for myself. It's just in my memory.
You know? All good. All good. I'm on the same page. I'm not down with a Kyle singles run. I might be down with a Roddy singles run, but like, you know, still backed up by the Kingdom because
yeah.
That was all that material was gold. All of that was so good.
From the mustache edition was just.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yadrick Strong is the best. He's the best. He looks like somebody's dad.
Adam.
Exactly. Clean your dishes or whatever. Go to your room.
Yeah. All that was so good. Like, Taven has emerged as a great, great sidekick.
That's right, dude. Yeah.
And Mike Bennett is Maria Kanellis' husband. So good for him on that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that round of applause. Not a marriage can survive that kind of blandness. But you know what? You know what, Maria? She's great. She's on TV with them, right? She's doing something else.
I don't know. Being a trooper is what she's being.
That's right. Trooper and a super mom.
That's right. And Adam Cole, the manager. Anyway, I digress. Bebe. What a tragedy. All right. So, speaking of tragedies, Eddie Kingston, the Continental Crown Champion versus Daniel Bryan. Renee Paquette accidentally called him Daniel Bryan. It happens.
Ooh.
You know, it's all right. You know, sometimes we use our old names. But hey, what are you going to do, right, guys? I don't understand it. Like, I get it. And I got to say, and I've said this before, Eddie Kingston made it. Unlike myself and many others, he's fucking made it.
Mm-hmm.
He's made it so we can walk out there. Actually, looked like he ran a little bit. He ran out there. Because, like, it's first he's backstage, and Renee Paquette, she's talking, and he's just stretching. And as soon as his music hits, he grabs his belt, and he just starts running. And
nice.
He's out there, and I'm like, holy shit, he made it. Now, there's some things that I was critique.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit, and you probably saw this, where Daniel Bryan leg kicks Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston invites another leg kick. And he has a bum leg. What? That doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove how tough you are. It proves you're an asshole. Because, like, we'll get to
dummy.
You have to sell it. You know what I mean? And, like, I don't know about you, buddy, but my leg, you kick my leg out of my leg, I'm going to have trouble. I'll be hobbling around. And Bryan Danielson's supposed to be the best wrestler in the world.
Right.
And he didn't beat Eddie Kingston. I don't.
You have to be better than someone. You just have to be better than them
for three seconds.
That's what happened.
Look, maybe it's like a thing. Like when John Cena, he made his wish for young La Knight, who grew up to become L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
So maybe Daniel Bryan and Brandison is doing something for his friend Eddie Kingston. who happens to be friends with everybody else there. So it doesn't take away from anything, because sacrifices are sacrifices, regardless if you could bench press a car or something.
Right.
So the only reason I had that issue was Dynamite. They made a big deal that Daniel Bryanson was in the ring with Will Ospreay. They're standing there looking at each other. The holy shits, the this, the that. Yes, Will Ospreay, bruv. What a guy. Fresh off his victory of Konosuke Takeshita. And then we got Daniel Bryanson, who just lost to Eddie Kingston, who just doesn't win any big matches. Zack Sabre Jr. whooped his ass.
Well, Zack Sabre Jr. is great.
Well, he is really great. But I'm just saying, like, is your thing just to get in there, roll around with people, and just, all right, have a nice day? Like, I need wins for you. I know. There's going to be some AEW people mad at me. Mm-hmm. I love AEW.
I hear the typing as we speak.
I'm in like with AEW, I mean. I think they're fine. I think the wrestling is good, but you guys got to really look like sometimes there's shit that just shouldn't have to happen, and people get hurt for it. You know what I mean? It's just some goofy shit that happens there that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about some unnecessary goofy shit. And I say that loosely because, like, you could seriously be hurt. You know what I mean? Like, it's not cool, dude. Tough motherfucker. And he fucking made it. Respect to Eddie Kingston.
Yeah. On topic of what you were just saying, did you hear about Sammy Guevara's suspension?
Yes.
It had, from what I read, it had to do with Jeff Hardy's concussion protocol not being observed, and I guess like Sammy attacked him.
Yeah, he did a finisher, I think, after the
match or something.
That's you can't really blame him for. Like, you can, but like, what's the rules? Like, what are the rules there? Mm-hmm. But it's like, you should all. It's like,
they need clarity.
Yeah, like, he's a young guy, and I understand that. You know, very young in the business, but like, successful pretty early. Like, you could say why, whatever, who cares? You could speculate, but it doesn't matter. I think, like, something that we have to remember, it doesn't matter how you get there, is that you got there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how Eddie Kingston got there. Yeah. He got there. Anything else is just hating.
Yeah.
I can't podcast if I don't do some of that. So the point is,
that's the rule.
Everybody's great, but you also got to be like, hey, is this a good idea? You know, what's wrong with just doing a quick roll up? You know, like, let's finish this. Let's just get out of here. You know, Sammy Guevara is young, but Jeff Hardy's not as young.
Right.
So I think that that should be observed at all times. And it's like, why isn't there anything picked up off of the Moxley with Rey Fénix with the whole, like, their match at Grand Slam? Like, why isn't it, like, you should learn from the past.
Yeah, it should be, if someone isn't cleared to compete or isn't cleared to take any kind of head bump, right? Or any, if the limited clearance, let's say that clear, right? And if they are going to be physically involved, you have someone from management, you have the doctor, meet with them before, because we know they planned the shit beforehand. We know they planned the spots, whatever. Say, listen, this is what he's cleared for. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. No strikes to the head or whatever the case may be. Make it clear in advance. You know, you say, it's like, you say excuse me, so you don't have to say sorry. Right? Makes sense?
That does, dude.
Yeah. Get all the data on the table before you, that way Sammy Guevara goes out, he knows I can't hit him in the head. I can't hit my finisher on him. I gotta just roll him up or do a submission like sharpshooter, because concussion it doesn't affect a concussion.
Yeah. Fucking, or just like, you know, just drape your hand over. Stand on him or something, do something.
Yeah.
Maybe pull the tights. Something like it'll protect them a little bit and just go from there. So, are you ready, Rich, for the next?
Yes.
This match is, well, it's a little segue. We'll talk about the FTR, Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli. Now, we got that one wrong. It was Claudio and Moxley. They won. Moxley and Claudio came out with the Road Warriors tribute. Like, they had the, they're all little, like, football shoulder pads and stuff. And I'm like, you're not the fucking Road Warriors. And they did a Doomsday device. And, like, worth revisiting. But it's one of those things where it's like, it was awesome, but it wasn't for anything. You know what I mean? But it does, like, make Claudio and Moxley contenders for the AEW Tag Team Championship, which, you know, is now vacant after the main event that we'll be talking about later on.
Spoiler alert.
Let's go and talk about, really quickly, it was Christian Cage, Daniel Garcia, you know, interference. That's right. You can do the dance there. Everybody
do that tonight.
Daniel Garcia, he didn't do it. There was a lot of interference, a lot of kill switching. A lot of, you know, the mother there, a lot of Nick Wayne. Yep. So, look, nothing really, you know, nothing doing. Daniel Garcia, he's got a bright future and whatever that means. You know, you can only go up, really. So.
Right. Only go up.
Yep. Speaking of going up, now people are raving, Richard, as they're raving about Will Ospreay versus Konosuke Takeshita. Now, I don't know about you, but no, it wasn't match of the year for me because you need to sell. And if I don't, like, there was this exchange where it looked amazing and fantastical, but Takeshita kicks out at one.
I get it. I get I get your point. The however is,
it looks that cool.
That's the Japanese style. It does look cool. That's they do. That's what gets the Japanese crowd riled up. It's like he took all of that and he's kicking out at one. He has fighting spirit. Holy shit.
I could see why Will Ospreay decided to sign with AEW.
Yeah, bruv.
And I could also see why another individual signed with AEW, a really huge thing that might have happened on AEW Dynamite. It also involved our friend Eddie Kingston. And we'll close with that later on. But Takeshita lost. Ospreay won. It was a friendly battle between Don Callis boys. And there's going to be a match between Will Ospreay and Fletcher. Or it happened already. I don't
know.
So, so yeah. I don't know why they're fighting amongst themselves, but okay. This is just to showcase them or something.
Sure.
Speaking of showcases, the Timeless One herself, Toni Storm, and Deonna Purrazza went at it, and it was successfully defended by Toni Storm. What was interesting about that was Toni Storm came out twice. Or did she? Because first it was original recipe Toni Storm with the music and everything, and it wasn't Toni Storm.
Wow.
It was it Mariah May? Yeah. And she was as like, and then other Toni Storm came out. So I thought that was like a cool little thing. It's like, wow, they look they're similar, but there's just some things you can't hide from me. I see things. So that was decent. Let's talk about it. Let's get on with it. Here it is. I'm hoping this is it. Yeah, this is it right here. The final match of Sting, the Tornado Tag Match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship, which saw Darby Allin come off a ladder into real glass.
Cry me a river.
So much glass. Like, you can see some of it fly, like, little tiny pieces into, like, the side area where people are.
Wow.
And apparently there's, like, a disclaimer. Like, if you sit in those seats that, like, shit like that can happen to you. To which crazy. I'm like, I hope nothing crazy happens then, because some things you can't just wave away, dog.
Right. Like one of those little shards hits you in the eye. I don't care if it's real glass or not.
It's still in there.
Right.
It's like, something in there that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, is it going to get stuck? Is it going to scratch your retina? This is not little things. It's not, oh, I cut my finger. No, it's bad.
Sting had his sons. He had his, one of his sons was as NWO Sting, and his other son was as Surfer Sting. And came out, he had the Seek and Destroy music was coming out. And, like, it's one of those things, it's like you smile because, like, Sting went in there. He's undefeated.
By I heard the way. That song, Seek and Destroy, was released on Sting's 40th birthday. Is that true?
Yes, it was. Okay. It was. It was indeed. No that's facts here. Like yeah, so... You know, and then they did a thing, and you know, the Young Bucks lost, and they're vacating. And he did a nice speech. You should look that up. Which he had to get it on YouTube because they ran out of time.
Nice, good job. AEW, right? Good job with all that clout you got there, TK.
But look, at least they gave Sting, you know, whatever. He's undefeated at AEW. You know, he walked out with the tag team championships, and maybe Darby Allin. That. And maybe Darby Allin is going to Mount Everest. Maybe he'll come back. We don't know because that shit's dangerous. So
yeah, that's like literally the ultimate stunt on this planet is climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah, good luck to that psychopath, Darby Allin. So overall, Revolution, it was indeed the best Revolution since the last Revolution, and it was televised. 4.5 stars from the Basement Bookers podcast collectively added up.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. And just so we know what we're comparing to, last year's Revolution, the main event was MJF versus Brander Dander in a 60-minute Iron Man match for the AEW world title.
Definitely the best one since the last one, despite your trying to make me dismiss that.
No, I'm not.
That's actually pretty good, but still. Best one since the last one. You are correct, sir. Rich DeRiz, who is ready for Roadblock? You are.
Me.
Okay.
Me. Yes.
The first match. Rich DeRiz, take us through this. Dijak versus Joe Gacy in a cage match.
This was an Asylum match officially billed, and we saw duct tape, you know, kendo sticks, trash cans, a door,
duct tape around the eyes.
Ultimately, we saw Dijak toss Joe Gacy through the door. It wasn't just like going through the door, like, oh, let me go through this door. No, the door was propped up in the corner. He went through it the hard way, breaking the door, of course, with his own body. We saw the Fisher eyes twice. The 1-2-3, Dijak gets a big win under his belt. Finally, thankfully, Dijak needs a push.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll team up with Joe Gacy because he's so crazy.
Rock and sock, right?
Something like that. Yeah, I think it would like add layers, you know. Maybe wants to get to know him better. But speaking of getting to know each other, we had the Wolf Dogs versus Chase University. Rich DeRiz. I like the Wolf Dogs. I like their like little wolf nose mask things. That's kind of cool. Little to Corbin's. His is better. I like the Wolf one. Wolf one's cool.
Yeah.
The only reason I like Baron Corbin is because of his team. And
Corbin needs someone to play off of.
Yeah, this would be the victory was when Chase was unbeknownst that the tag was made, the blind tag by Braun Breakker, and got speared in half. And that was it. And post match, Thea's a little bit disappointed, just leaves because apparently they're losers, according to JC Jane. We don't know what's going on there.
I mean, it's a good thing she saved the university, right?
I know. I think she wants to take over the university.
From Chase U to Jace U.
Hey, there you go. You did it.
I did. Got us there.
Match three, not a match. Not a match.
Yeah.
So Sean Spears, he's like, hey, look at me. Rich, go ahead, buddy.
Chairman. So he faced Uriah Connors, who I hadn't seen before in NXT. Apparently, Uriah Connors is real name. Come on, mouse. Here we go. Brogan Finley, the other son of Fit Finley.
Oh, shit.
So probably the first time we've seen him. Certainly not the last.
Yeah, and not the last that we've seen of someone who's very upset with Sean Spears, and that was our buddy, what's his name? Don't tell me. Hold on. I'm thinking about him. He's a brawling brute. He used to be a brawling brute. He's a rugby player. Ridge Wallet. There.
Ridge Wallet.
Wallet.
We're not sponsored. Sorry.
Ridge Wallet comes out, not sponsored. Mm-hmm. And
my Ridge Wallet's going to beat your chair.
Yeah, that's what Sean Spears says. But he wants Ridge Wallet to get him. He wants him to hit him. He wants him to like hit him with a chair or something. It's like, why? Like, I don't know what's going on.
I think he's trying to have Ridge embrace his rage. For what purpose? Hopefully we'll find out next week.
Hopefully. What I don't have a graphic for is Blair Davenport versus Fallon Henley.
Not even 3.5 minutes. Like, we saw the interference.
To the point where Jamal and Rosie would come out and then just take care of them.
Right.
You know, because 3 minutes too long.
Right. That's what would have happened. But now, 3 minutes, 28 seconds. We had and then
the return.
Henley. Yeah, the return. Ruka. She's happy to be back. She's smiling after getting involved in a match. I don't know. I feel like faces shouldn't do like, oh, hey, I'm back. Surprise attack. But I'm a face. Woohoo. No.
I helped my friend.
It doesn't follow the face formula. It doesn't track.
Well, that's okay. What does track is the tag team women's championships here at Roadblock. It was Tatum Paxley, who hoped to become more than friends with Lyra Valkyria. And by that, she means tag team champions, allegedly.
Right.
Together to really solidify their union, as it were. That didn't happen. The Kabuki Warriors won. There was a big, nice exchange with Kairi Sane and Tatum Paxley, seeing who's just weirder than the other one, I guess. And that was something.
So to me, it sounded like when Kairi goes up for the insane elbow, it sounds like the crowd is chanting, Rufy, oh, Rufy, oh.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right.
Like, fucking... That means there's old people in that crowd.
Of course they're in Florida.
Oh,
because when you get these small crowds and that's the only ones you're like competing in front of, they're gonna do stuff like that to get themselves over, brother.
Yeah, you got to do. Oh, that's interesting. What else is interesting is what you were gonna say before I.
No, I'm following you. I'm following you. I got this.
What's really interesting is this main event that we knew was gonna definitely be Carmelo Hayes just beating the Don. Who apparently got a new consigliere, and also he's making moves. So regardless, he's going to see Ilya on Sunday. So I don't know what that means at all.
I don't know either.
But for right now, maybe Trick Williams came back, and he wanted a piece of Carmelo Hayes, regardless of that, and even beat up the Carmelo Hayes guys.
Yep, you know? Saw that.
And, what is this for? The Roadblock before Stand and Deliver, right? That's the WrestleMania NXT is Stand and Deliver.
That's right. Stand and Deliver April 6th, which is, I believe, WrestleMania Saturday. Yeah, that is WrestleMania Saturday. It's airing before WrestleMania. Special start time, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, Saturday, April 6th. We are 4 weeks out. Brother,
that week is gonna suck towards the end. We got
only for us,
yeah, just for us. Everybody else is gonna have a great time, but
yes, we're gonna have a great time. I don't know what you're talking about. It's gonna be great.
We gotta record Thursday.
All the wrestling.
Oh my God, it's like Wrestling Woodstock week or some shit.
WrestleMania's
bad. WrestleMania's got a lot to live up to. I gotta say. And The Rock is gonna make that happen, I guess, because he said wrestling's cool again.
Speaking of The Rock that you mentioned, so I think, to be fair, that the length of that SmackDown segment, the 40 minutes, was part of the heel tactic, because Rock, as the boss, can do whatever he wants with his show. He can get the first literal third of the show just for him and Roman.
I mean, he can pretty much do what he wants, and mm-hmm. he's just showing it. So there is credence to that. But I am receiving the light, which means they're giving me the go home. This has been an hour, give or take, of the Basement Bookers podcast. We were happy to have you here with us. But today's a special episode. Is Rich DeRiz's birthday. So why don't you check us out at patreon.com/basementbookerspod. And Rich DeRiz has a parting message.
That's right. The link to that is down below in case you don't know how to spell whatever. And if you don't, it's okay. We still love you. And there's that. There's the link tree. The links are all in the Patreon as well. And Jer, happy birthday to you as well. And Jer has a parting message.
No, I was giving you the parting message.
Oh.
That was letting you do the parting message for once.
It's your line, but okay. Okay. Thank you.
Want to make your own.
I can't make my own. I'm not as creative as you, so I got this. All right. The match of life is scheduled for one fall, so make it count.
And do what the man says.
Follow the Booker.